You're tuned to The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. The midterm election in Alaska was one of the most expensive in that state's history. A lot of money was poured into the Senate race. Republican Senator Dan Sullivan appears to be leading incumbent Democrat Mark Begich, but the race is still too close to call. As with every state election, there were a lot of other issues on the ballot. Alexandra Gutierrez is the state government reporter for Alaska Public Radio. She told my colleague Jeannie Yandel there was no surprise that the measure to raise Alaska's minimum wage to $8.75 an hour would win.
It was a foregone conclusion as soon as it got on the ballot that we would be looking at a higher minimum wage. There hasn't been a minimum wage initiative in the country that has failed so far, and in Alaska, it's always polled exceptionally well. It's just kind of interesting that we're looking at a change potentially in our Senate seat from a Democrat to a Republican when the ballot initiatives that we looked at last night actually are seen as more Democrat-friendly policies.
Well, I'm also wondering about this other initiative that had a pretty big win. It's the so-called anti-mining initiative, which at face value does sound like a fairly progressive thing. What is the anti-mining initiative exactly?
The initiative concerns the Pebble Mine. And for people who aren't familiar, it's if developed, it would be the largest open pit mine in the world. And one of the reasons it's so controversial is that it is located near the headwaters of the world's most productive salmon habitat. There are actually a lot of people in Washington who come up to Alaska to commercially fish the Bristol Bay salmon fishery. And that project has been really, really politically fraught for a while. And, you know, in some ways, this initiative, which would require the legislature to approve any sort of large-scale mining in that region, it's kind of the final nail of the coffin carrying the dead horse that's been beaten too much. One of the companies that was hoping to develop the mine pulled out. Earlier this year, the EPA said, hey, before we even get to the permitting stage, we don't think that this would fly with the Clean Water Act. So a lot of people see this initiative as kind of being a moot point right now, given that most people see the project as pretty dead. But it was still interesting to see it pass by such a landslide.
One ballot measure that passed, not by a landslide, but passed, was ballot measure 2, which legalized recreational marijuana in Alaska. So now your state joins Washington, Colorado, and Oregon in legalizing recreational marijuana. Who supported ballot measure 2 in Alaska?
You know, it was actually all over. A lot of the opposition to the ballot measure was expected to come from rural communities, native villages that are off the road system, many of which don't even allow the sale of alcohol. So there were concerns that this sort of marijuana initiative might infringe upon their local control. But looking at the returns, Alaska is people are saying Alaska's been a pretty green state all around. It didn't pass by a landslide by any stretch. It passed with about 52% of the vote, and the Associated Press still hasn't called the race. But right now I spoke with one of the people involved with the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation, which is, you know, their job is basically now to talk to the legislature this spring, figure out what regulations we need, take what's, you know, the way he described it was take what's working in Washington, take what's working in Colorado, get rid of what's not, and then hopefully have a better regulatory system than we might otherwise if we were first.
You just said that opposition was expected to come from rural communities. Given that this race was so close for passing ballot measure 2, who did oppose it? Who did vote against it?
Well, it's funny. There was actually a pretty vocal opposition group, and people really didn't know what was going to happen last night going into it. The polling on the ballot measure had been incredibly inconsistent. I remember one day where we basically had two polls that came in that were about 20 points apart in terms of does it win, does it lose. The coalition that was opposing it was actually a bipartisan mix. One of the chief spokespeople for it was a former chair of the Alaska Democratic Party, which a lot of people found to be kind of unexpected. A lot of public safety organizations came out against it. city governments in supporting their police departments. A number of them passed resolutions against it. But Alaska's had some of the most liberal marijuana laws in the country in its whole history. I mean, even before the initiative passed last night, you're allowed to possess over an ounce in your own home and grow up to six plants. I mean, that is because we have a privacy clause in our Constitution. Our courts determined, hey, this falls under the right to privacy to consume this substance in your own home. The problem that a lot of people saw was, you're allowed to have it, but there's no mechanism for acquiring it. Possession is still a crime. Obviously, the sale of marijuana has been a crime. And so some people kind of figured, oh, this is a way of making our marijuana laws more consistent. The opposition really focused on the commercialization aspect and focused on things like concentrates as kind of things that should be troubling. But in a way, I spoke with a lot of people who were involved with the campaign and who, I guess, are consumers of marijuana. And while they're really happy that this initiative passed and it will be more convenient and it'll be more regulated, a lot of them felt like they wouldn't have a problem acquiring the drug.
That's Alexandra Gutierrez, the state government reporter for Alaska Public Radio. She spoke with my colleague, Jeannie Yandel.